The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Kiss Your Life Hello with Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. This program is all about relationships from love and family to health and business. It's a diverse world of alternative thinking as it applies to your daily life. Now it's time to kiss your life hello. So here are Drs. Nair and Piper.
Welcome everyone to this edition of Kiss Your Life Hello. We're so pleased and delighted that you can join us. We have a very exciting program in front of us for today. Wonderful tidbits of information and a really awesome guest, a giant in the field of alternative medicine, who will be joining us very shortly. But without much ado, let me introduce our co-host, Dr. H. Calling Dr. H. How are you there, sir?
I'm great, my dear. Good morning. I've missed your voice for the past couple, 3 weeks. And I don't say that to too many women, but I really missed your voice.
Well, we missed you, sir. We missed your presence last week. We had an awesome time. And the listeners, we got to interview a spectacular author who was talking about Live Your Bliss.
That's true. That's right, Terry Whitaker. Yeah.
Yes.
She must have been really great. I know she was in my neck of the woods in Palm Springs a couple months ago and had a large audience. She was here just for one day on a Sunday. So, before we do the news or before we talk about the different things in nutrition, I just want to share something, and hopefully my friend is listening. I was telling Dr. VJ before the show that I received an email from a person probably about 3 weeks ago asking me if I was a corpsman. I was a hospital corpsman with the Marines in Vietnam. If I was a hospital corpsman with the Marines at Khe Sanh, which has a huge history of not being a very nice place. And I said I was, and he said I was the other corpsman with you. And he sent me some pictures. And this is 43 years ago. In 1967, I was there. And 43 years ago, I said, how'd you find me? He said, well, I Googled your name. You know, it's one thing about the Internet, you can't hide because somebody types your name in, they can find all the dirt, all the good stuff, and maybe some of the dirt on you, too. So hopefully I don't have any dirt. And so he found me and emailed me, and we've had this conversation, which is really interesting because if there's any Vietnam vets, you know, listening to our show, we all say, first of all, you know, welcome home to everybody, and I'm glad you're back, and let's fill in some of these voids. And what this other gentleman and I have been doing has been, you know, corresponding back and forth and filling these blanks that we have, you know, for some of the stuff that we don't want to remember, some of the stuff that we had to remember. So it was great. It's right out of the past, and there were pictures of me, and one of the pictures of myself and the other corpsman standing in a foxhole, and I said to Meg, I said, is that me? Is that me with hair, with a hairline and no gray hair? You know, I was just a kid. I was like 23, 24 years old. So, wow.
That's awesome. That's really, you know, that somebody remembered you and your service to the country and to your, you know, the folks that you were serving. That's a really powerful story that someone, you know, chooses to remember you.
So you never know about the past, you know, when it's going to come up to the president and say, you know, hey, do you remember me? We were together or whatever. It was great. It was a great blessing. Actually, it was the weekend that you and I went to Expo West, when we went to the Natural Food Expo in Anaheim. So it was the beginning of March. So it was about 3 weeks ago.
And it was interesting because you had a dream about that. You know, it all brought back, I guess, memories of the Vietnam War and, you know, your time there.
Well, in fact, last night I had another dream about that, and I haven't had those in many, many years. I haven't had flashbacks in a lot of years. Therapy really, really helps, believe me, which is a great coincidence towards, you know, our guest today, so I have lots of questions. So what do you have on the news today? Because I have something pretty interesting, but I'll let ladies first.
Well, you know, this is interesting. You know, how we, our experiences and, you know, our who we are, you know, sometimes in life, what we show up as in our experiences, sometimes, you know, they, when we finally come to a challenging period in our life, which is what we were talking about with Ms. Cole Whitaker last week, you know, there was an article about a surgeon refusing chemotherapy. Now, I stood up and stared at it, and I said, usually, very, very rarely do you have people in the medical profession refusing something like chemotherapy.
Wow.
And this is interesting. This is a gentleman, Dr. Kenneth Forrow, MD, and he was diagnosed with colon cancer at the age of 60. And he was told by his oncologist that he'd probably live only one more year, provided he started with chemo or radiation immediately. Now, we've heard this line many, many times before. But Forrow, he's a surgeon and who routinely recommended chemotherapy for other patients, refused the treatment. At the time of the writing, I mean, he's, you know, this was in 1999. He's retired at the age of 83. And this article was just published a few months ago. And Forrow chose to change his diet to natural whole foods. He started apparently drinking large amounts of vegetable juices and began following the Virginia Livingstone Program of Natural Healing. He later became the center's medical director, and it's when his wife asked him in 1975 when he was diagnosed with cancer and he refused chemo why he did so, he said, because I'm the patient now and I don't have to follow that routine. It never did that much good. I had to keep prescribing it to keep my hospital privileges. And, you know, Virginia Livingstone, for those who don't know, Virginia Livingstone, MD, founded the Virginia Livingstone Medical Center in San Diego, that's your neck of the woods, in 1971. Mm-hmm. Now, she stated that she had an 82% success rate with cancer patients. And if you want to read more about this, it's in the book called Choices. It's called Spring 1999. That's when the article was published. And you can go to HTTP, it's www.whale. /cancer/livingston.html. And Livingston is spelled Livingston. And it's interesting, you know, how, you know, when you talk to some medical practitioners and especially, you know, this amazing story of a surgeon, you know, refusing chemo. Now, we've come across a number of studies that show that, you know, even with oncologists, a Canadian study showed not too long ago that more than 90% of oncologists will refuse chemotherapy. Now, this is not to say blanket that you should refuse chemotherapy, but what it's actually asking you is to inquire deeper into, you know, whether the benefits outweigh, you know, the risk associated with chemotherapy and radiation, and to pursue what are the other alternatives. Now, it's very hard to do when you're diagnosed with cancer and you're told you have to start chemo and radiation straight away. So it's helpful to start your inquiry into this nature and to find out as much as you can what the reputable scientists are talking about and what are the other options, or integrative medicine when you have both options from complementary medicine or integrative medicine from the alternative medical fields as well as in the conventional fields. So, you know, that's my story for the day.
Well, you know, people will contact me as a naturopathic doctor and ask me about, you know, they get the C word, the cancer, and they get scared, and the doctors want to put them on chemo, and they ask me, you know, should I take chemo, should I do radiation? And I say, you know, this is your choice between you and your doctor. Here are some suggestions that will complement, you know, what you're doing with the chemo and or radiation, or even with hepatitis C, with interferon. And every so often, I will get an oncologist call me, and they'll say, for example, like what you had just read, and they'll say, well, I know what the chemo is doing. I know it's destroying the immune system along with the cancer cells. that there's something, you know, that you could recommend that my patients can take and to not stop taking chemo, but to take a natural food supplement. And, you know, I've written several different books with cancer, and there are several products out there. The Jiva is one of them, you know, that people can take and complement it, because we want to keep the immune system nice and strong and healthy. Well, I'm going to skip my my news, my breaking news for next week. How's that? Because I want to introduce our guest, because this guy is, like, really, really, really great. So my news can wait till next week. If I may, Dr. Vijay.
Go for it.
I don't hear a drum roll.
Go for it, okay, Dr. H.
Okay, this is our guest, Larry Dossey, a medical doctor, is a respected leader in bringing scientific understanding to spirituality and an internationally influential advocate of the role of spirituality in healthcare and wellness. During his distinguished career as a practitioner of integrative medicine, he helped establish the Dallas Diagnostic Association and served as chief of staff of Medical City Dallas Hospital. The author of 11 books, including the New York Times bestseller Healing Words. He is executive editor of Explore, the Journal of Science and Healing. Dr. Dossey has lectured all over the world and at major medical schools and hospitals in the United States, Harvard, Johns Hopkins, Cornell, and the Mayo Clinic, among others. He now lives in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And I lived in Albuquerque, and I used to go up to Santa Fe quite a bit to give lectures, and I cannot believe, Doc, that you and I did not run in together.
Well, Howard and Dr. Vijay, thank you for asking me on. Howard, I think that a lot of people retire to Santa Fe just to hide and drop out and become anonymous. I so often encounter people here and there who say, do you know my best friend in Santa Fe and so-and-so? And almost always the answer is no, which is very strange because this is a very small town.
So, well, in other words, the thing is that if we've made it today in society, in the world, we people don't know about us anymore. That's a good sign, right?
We have our 15 minutes and then we disappear, right?
Well, the interesting thing is, Dr. Dossey, Dr. Larry, that you didn't disappear there. You actually went on to create maybe it's the surroundings, maybe it's the setting, but you've written some very, very powerful information in this new book of yours, The Power of Premonitions. I think it's one of the most awesome books, and your subtitle here is How Knowing the Future Can Shape Our Lives.
Well, I think the subtitle does say quite a bit about it, and I'm convinced that even from a medical point of view that we ought to pay a lot of attention to premonitions. The fact is that so many of the waking intuitions and the dream-related premonitions that people have concern health issues. Upcoming problems with health, dilemmas, even physical threats to our health, disasters and so on, are the common fodder of premonitions. So these things are so often health-related that I've come to regard premonitions, frankly, as a kind of preventive medicine. We pay attention to them in the same sense that we would a physical warning or a symptom with their health, and sometimes they really can be life-saving if we're willing to do that.
Well, I think that there's one thing, you know, we learn to be intuitiveness. Okay, like I've been in touch with my intuitiveness for a number of years. So my intuition will tell me about something. Where sometimes I have the difficulty is trusting it and following it through.
Well, I agree with that. I think the dilemma or the challenge that we all face when we have something that feels like a premonition is whether or not to go with it, to trust it, or simply to dismiss it as a fantasy. This problem is compounded by the fact that a lot of premonitions come to us not literally, but they're symbolic and metaphorical, and they can really be difficult to untangle. And sometimes I think you just have to throw up your hands and say, well, I'm not sure what this means. I don't know whether to act on it or not, and so I'm just going to be with it for a while and let it unfold and announce its meaning to me over time. I think often that's where we get to, and I don't think that's a sign of weakness or futility. I just think that some are very complex, and rationally and intellectually, it's hard to figure them out. But there are a lot of criteria that we can use to distinguish fact from fantasy where premonitions are concerned, and maybe we can get into some of those a little bit.
Well, when we come back from the break, we'll talk more about your book and why you wrote it and, you know, some of the hard evidence behind the science of premonitions. So stay tuned with us. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
Experience higher love, an archangelic journey into ascended joy and authentic living.
Your hosts, Sri Ram Ka and Kira Ra, will assist you to open your heart, expand your love, and be ever present with true joy.
Your journey with Sri and Kira begins right here on the Seventh Wave Network with Higher Love, Wednesdays at 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern.
This ain't your mama's brain and health show.
Tune in and get ready for entertainment and information about your mind and body that will really change your life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio is a sane departure from conventional thinking about diet, health, and the brain. Host Nora Gedgaudas will also combine humor and science to illuminate the mind and open your eyes to the principles of neurofeedback and diet, which can help you and your family live a better life. Primal Body, Primal Mind Radio airs live Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You're listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back to our show, Kiss Your Life Hello, with Dr. VJ and Dr. H. We have the awesome, I'm really excited about talking with this gentleman. We're interviewing Dr. Larry Dossey, author of The Power of Premonitions. That's his latest book, How Knowing the Future Can Shape Our Lives. So, Doc, I gave you a new word called belliometer. That's what I call my intuition, that when something is going and I'm aware of it, my belliometer goes off, and I say, okay, what's going on within my body? Because it seems to be reacting sometimes physically and sometimes emotionally on something that I don't even know about. Can you give an example of how some of those premonitions, you know, can occur?
Well, I was in my office in Dallas practicing internal medicine a few years back, Howard, and one of my favorite patients, she was a very bright and successful Dallas attorney, came in and just interrupted everything. She banged on my door and she said, I've got to have help. She said, I had a horrible dream last night, a nightmare, and I'm convinced I have ovarian cancer. She went on to describe how she had a dream in which she saw what she called three little white spots on her left ovary. And she said, I know that I have a problem there and it's cancer. Well, we did a pelvic examination. It was absolutely normal. And I invited her to have a sonogram just to make sure that we didn't miss anything. And actually, the radiologist put her down. He thought this was a big joke. He joked about the fact that this is the only radiological test he'd ever done on account of somebody's dream. But he was back in my office about 5 minutes later, and he was white as a ghost. And he said, "Look, we need to talk." And I said, "What's the matter? What did the sonogram show?" And he said, "Three little white spots right there on her left ovary." And so I had to rub it in, and I said, "Oh, you mean sort of like she saw in her dream last night, right?" And he didn't think that was very funny, but he really was shaken up by that. She saw the thing in the dream exactly in camera-like detail, but the nice thing about this particular case is she got her diagnosis wrong. These were benign ovarian cysts, three of them, and right where she saw them. And so, you know, we were all comforted by the fact that these were benign. But this is an example of someone who had a dream premonition that was right on target in terms of pictorial detail, and she did the right thing. She had it checked out, and that's a typical example. I have dozens of those kinds of cases in my files where these things simply come to people out of the clear blue sky.
So, Dr. Vijay, you wanted to ask about, you know, evidence, research, and scientific studies. Probably now is a great time to talk about that. I try to go with my, here we go. I try to go into my intuitiveness when somebody is sharing, you know, experience and strengths and hopes and follow that. But there are some people that need to have the dots dotted and the T's crossed and all that. What are some of the scientific studies?
Well, there are several categories of scientific evidence now which have arisen over the past decade, which I personally find extraordinarily compelling, showing that these phenomena are real. We do have this talent, and we're just simply not fabricating this. The strongest evidence currently, in my judgment, comes from work that was pioneered by Dr. Dean Radin, R-A-D-I-N, at the Institute for Noetic Sciences in California. He has a series of experiments now that have been replicated dozens of times around the world by different people that are called presentiment experiments. Presentiment means the feeling that comes before. So what this series of experiments looks like is that you're sitting in front of a computer, and that computer is going to randomly show you one of two different types of images. It's either going to be a picture of something serene and peaceful, like a scene from nature at the beach or something like that. And the other option is a horribly upsetting, grisly, awful scene like an autopsy or horrible trauma or something of that sort. You don't know what's coming up, neither does the computer. It's going to make a random choice. And you're sitting there and you're having some index of stress measured in your body. It could be your blood pressure, your heart rate, the diameter of your pupil. So that's being registered. And what happens is this, and this is where it gets really strange. If the picture that's going to pop up on the computer screen is going to be one of these horrible images, your body begins to register a stress response several seconds before that image even appears. This does not happen to that degree if the image that is going to happen is a peaceful, serene, lovely image. And the question is, how does your mind and body know what the decision of the computer is going to be? The computer hasn't even made the decision. It's on a random program. But somehow you have the ability in your body and mind to know what's going to happen into the future. I think this is direct evidence that we have the ability to sense what is going to happen. There have been Nobelists who have gone out to Dr. Radin's laboratory and have been so intrigued by this set of experiments that they've actually taken this test themselves, and their body responds just as I described to you. This ability is extremely widespread. Almost everyone who is a subject in these experiments behaves this way. Something about us is designed to sense the future. I think this is direct evidence that premonitions are, in fact, a very widespread ability, and is present in just about everybody.
Now, this begs the question that most of the premonitions usually are about unpleasant things.
Right.
Like, you know, people ask, why don't we have the premonitions about winning the lottery or the right stocks to, you know, to pick or, you know, and I think you talked about it a little bit the vacancy rate of the four planes that crashed at 9/11 was around 80%. And we've always been impressed that, you know, it's just something that, you know, sometimes shocks people that this suggests that lots and lots of people found some reason not to travel on those planes, you know, on that fateful day, 9/11. And has anybody ever done a study on the people that were supposed to be there, you know, when the planes crashed on the buildings, the World Trade Center towers, and they didn't come or for some reason appeared on time to work?
Yeah, I think there hasn't been any systematic study of those people who were supposed to go to work that day and didn't show up. Actually, in my book, I do talk about a case in which a gentleman who was involved in building security had a dream, a premonition, that the event was going to happen. He saw the buildings mm-hmm. crashing, people jumping out of buildings, and the world was in chaos in the dream in that area of Manhattan. And unknown to him, his wife began to have the identical dream. He didn't know that she was having it until she brought it up to him.
Wow.
So they were having concomitant parallel dreams of 9/11. They were very intellectual people, very analytically oriented. They assured each other that, you know, these are just dreams. They mean nothing. Unfortunately, he chose to ignore his premonition and hers as well and died on 9/11, which I think illustrates that, you know, if premonitions do indeed deal with tragedy and death, as Carl Jung said, we should always consider them seriously because we might not get a second chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I think back to your question about why so many of these things deal with tragedy and chaos and so on, is that they serve a survival function. And most people who do serious work in this field think that these capacities arose very early in our evolutionary history because they do help us stay alive and reproduce, which is our evolutionary imperative. Now, it's true that most of these things do deal with unpleasant events, but I have cases where people actually have had premonitions of winning the lottery, saw the winning numbers, entered them, and won. One woman did this not once, but twice. So I don't want to imply that all premonitions have to do with noxious, unpleasant stuff, but people do have intuitions of very pleasant things, such as when they're going to meet their soulmate, or premonitions of pregnancy are extraordinarily common, and job promotions. And I even have one acquaintance who swears that she has premonitions of where to find the last remaining parking spot. She says that these are mediated by a goddess that she calls Asphalta.
So, Doc, I have a question in regards to the lady who won the lottery twice.
Uh-huh.
Did she share it with you after reading your book?
Actually, she had the winning lottery number dreams twice before she even heard of me. But after she read the book, she contacted me and related her experience.
How can we get your book?
Well, thank you. It's in all major bookstores, and it's available on the usual Internet sites such as Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com and so on. And people can order it off my website as well, which is www.dossiedossie.com. That's dossietwice.com. Two Dossies because my wife and I share the website. She's an author, too.
So her name comes first.
She's the first Dossie.
So I think the question that we have is, can we learn to have these premonitions for people who think, you know, they don't have these sensations or these visual images or dreams? How can they go about cultivating it or growing it, I mean, the sensation?
Well, it can be cultivated. I'd be the first to admit, Dr. Vijay, that we cannot manipulate these things. These are mm-hmm. deeply unconscious processes that cannot be controlled. They don't dance to our demands, but we certainly can invite them into our lives. And the most effective way to do this, research suggests, is to develop some sort of way of paying attention to what goes on deep in our emotional and psychological lives. I think the best way to do this that's ever been discovered is to develop some form of meditation. Whether you want to call it contemplation or just right. getting quiet or something else, the key is to learn to notice what is going on in our inner life, so that when premonitions or intuitions or gut feelings or as Howard said, our bellyometer goes off, then we notice that. And it seems such a simple thing, but most of us are so consumed with chatter 24/7 that we often don't notice premonitions even when they're there. Another technique that always comes up is keeping a dream diary. I've tried this, and I can assure you that my experience is not uncommon. If you write it down, the dreams down, the second you wake up or talk them into a tape recorder or make some sort of record of them, you will find that your dream life certainly becomes richer, deeper, fuller, and often peppered with premonitions. So I think meditation and keeping a dream diary are two ways that if people do want to become more premonition prone, those are two ways to go.
May I just suggest that I was just told by a Buddhist teacher recently, very recently actually, and it was very intriguing, that as you, before you go to sleep, tell yourself that you're going to be aware of your dreams.
Yeah.
And if you just program in your mind that, you know, I'm going to be more aware of my dreams, guess what? During the dreaming process, you can actually have a measure that, oh, I know this is a dream. It's actually happened to me a couple of times now. And it's a phenomenal what the subconscious can help you with. But having said that, we're going to go on a short break, and when we come back, more in your book, Dr. Larry Dorsey's The Power of Premonitions.
Steps to a Healthier You. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE. Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's J-I-V-A supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores.
Are you ready to go green?
You've asked, and we've heard you. Voice America presents the Green Talk Network. Environmental topics are at the forefront of our society, and the Green Talk Network is here to keep you up to date on the latest trends and new innovations for the eco-conscious lifestyle. We'll help promote a variety of ideas on the environment, from global warming issues to how you can become more eco-friendly in your daily activities. Be a part of the solution, not the problem. Visit the Green Talk Network page on voiceamerica.com and tune in to help spread the green.
What is whole person healing via body, via mind, and via spirit? It's a dedication to the widest selection of healing practices worldwide whenever possible. Hosted by Professor Rustam Roy, a noted materials scientist and the founder of Friends of Health, who will be here each weekend with the most in-depth information about whole person healing from the world's leading practitioners, spokespersons, and major supporters for this viewpoint. Tune in every Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Health and Wellness channel.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Dr. Vijay, and with us today we have an awesome, awesome guest, Dr. Larry Dosey. We're talking about his latest book, The Power of Premonitions. Very, very quick question, Larry. And as the CEO of my own company, Essence of Life here, and I function a lot on, you know, premonitions and sixth sense, and all, and I've always felt, you know, am I alone in this? Do premonitions actually work in business settings and, you know, in the business field?
Well, I had the opportunity to ask some hotshot entrepreneurs you may have heard of this same question. One was Oprah Winfrey. I happened to be on her program a couple of times since this book has been out. And I asked her the same thing, and she said that she attributes her business success to premonitions. And then she went on to describe what she meant by that. And this was a very hot topic for her. She says that all the major decisions she's made come to her in the form of intuition or premonitions. And she even named this book. About 3 years ago, I was on a program. She said, "What are you working on now?" And I said, "Well, I'm working on a book about premonitions." And then she got this far-off look in her eyes and said, "Ah, the power of premonitions."
Wow.
So, you know, the book didn't have a name then, and I thought, gee, that's got a pretty good ring to it. So that's one book that's been named by Oprah Winfrey. And the book I talk about a lot of famous entrepreneurs who also ascribe their success to premonitions. One is Donald Trump. There is just a long list of these people who credit their astonishing business success not by intellectual analytical tools, but by following something far more fundamental on the order of the preconscious or the unconscious.
Well, this can take even the form of, you know, as a scientist and as an epidemiologist, you know, I'm trained to look at analytical and hard evidence, but when I started my company, too, and Dr. H, I don't know if I shared with you, but a lot of the Jiva formulations actually came in deep meditation and intuition. And I was shocked when, you know, the formulas just appeared. And you know, the strange thing is when I tested with all my scientific team at MD Anderson Cancer Center, at, you know, at Harvard and Columbia and all over the world, and, you know, they said, "Oh, my God, how did you put that together? Because that's perfect." And, you know, they went back to the tables and you know, the charts, drawing charts, so to speak, and calculated and says, "Yes, this would be perfect."
I'm really interested in hearing you say that, Dr. Vijay, because I really think that we've looked at the way scientists and, in particular, physicians operate in a very skewed way. We've made it an analytical, intellectual exercise, and I just don't think many of us operate like that on a day-to-day basis. I had an experience just last fall talking to a large group of physicians gathered at a Harvard Medical School continuing medical education course. They wanted me to talk about premonition, so I did, thinking that, boy, this is the last time they'll invite me back. But then in the Q&A session, they started telling me their premonitions. One female internist stood up in the middle of the room, and she said, "Well, I get numbers in my dreams." She said, "I see the specific laboratory values of my patient's lab tests before I even order the tests." I think that we've underestimated the usefulness of this form of knowing in people whom we've always considered to be totally analytical and intellectual. I think it requires both. And I think physicians and researchers are never at their best until they combine both of these forms of information acquisition.
I totally agree with you, because it's not just the work itself, but it's also who you want to work with. And you just have to be in tune with yourself, and you know, and then of course we talked about it, Larry. The intention is everything.
Yep.
It's not a manipulation. It's just, yeah, you put your deepest emotions, feelings, you know, how you want to serve humanity and how you want to serve your patients, you know, out there to the universe, and then let the universe, you know, work with you, your subconscious, to create, you know, a manifest reality, and then, you know, don't be shocked when that happens, you know, live into it, you know, step up to it.
Well, I agree. You know, there's that old saying that if you take the first step, the universe steps toward you and meets you halfway. I think that's pretty much how premonitions work. We set the stage, we invite them, we set the intention, and then we are grateful for how the universe displays itself to us.
I can give you some examples that's almost like an everyday occurring premonition for myself, driving my car, especially in the California freeway, that I will know the car in front of me, the car inside of me, is what they're going to do. And 99% of the times, you know, I'm correct. I'll get that feeling, oh, they're going to cut off to the right, they're going to cut off to the left. And they end up doing that. And it's something that at first I thought, oh, it's just a coincidence. But as I've been driving here, you know, in California, and other places too, but in California we all go like 90,000 miles an hour, bumper to bumper, and I'll know. I'll just have this strong feeling that this person is going to cut in front of me, or this other person is going to, you know, make a left turn or a right turn. And it's amazing how, whoop, I was right again. So I think for a lot of us, if we're aware of what's going on, whether it's driving or doing whatever, and we get this gut feeling, bellyometer, intuitive feeling, whatever it is, premonition, and we say, wow, okay, we knew that this was going to happen in the next few seconds. It's almost like a deja vu type of thing, but it happens a lot.
You know, Howard, you and I off the air were talking about our experiences in Vietnam. I, as a battalion surgeon, took care of a lot of career soldiers with the special forces who credited this gut feeling thing, they called it, with being alive. I think that this is an extraordinarily common situation where one does see premonitions, gut instincts and intuition operate, and I think you would predict it, because, boy, if there's anything that's related to survival, it ought to pop up in a situation like that, and that's the case. So just another example of the survival value of these things.
So now my turn for my question, Dr. Vijay.
Well, go ahead. Go for it.
Dr. Dossie, a number of years ago, I had a dream that I saw my tombstone, and I saw the day I died, the day, the month, and then the year. And what is interesting is that in my last will and testament, I've asked whoever's left that they cremate me, so there's not going to be a tombstone. And when I woke up, it startled me because of the fact, number one, that it was on a tombstone, which I didn't ask for, but number two, or maybe number one, was probably the date. So it's like I have the date. Now, I can run with that, and or I can just say, well, it's just a dream.
Yeah. Well, Howard, I can only give you my personal approach to interpreting dreams like that. They're very problematic for a lot of people because they see that as a curse. It's something, no pun intended, but written in stone, and, you know, that's it. You've seen your demise, you know, when it's going to happen. I tend to take another view of those kinds of dreams, and indeed toward premonitions in general. I don't think they are written in stone. I take the idea, as do a lot of physicists who fiddle with the nature of time, of a probabilistic future. You see perhaps the most probable future scenario, but in the present, you have wiggle room. You can use your intentions and actions and choice-making skills in the present to shift the probability of that future event one way or the other. So I don't think that these are declarations that are inevitable. I don't think that they announce something that's absolutely determined, but I think they do give us a heads up about a probable future. Not to say that we don't have the options to change that. Mm-hmm. And in the book, I talk about people who see horrible events in the future, which they act in the present to change those and shift them. So I think that choice-making and freedom of the will are preserved. I don't think premonitions are the enemy of free will. I just think they show us a probable future, which then it's up to us to act on.
Dr. H, maybe that's the date that we're not going to do any more shows. Are we going to take on a new show? We want you around for a long time.
Thank you.
So we're making a request to the universe for you. But, you know, Larry, you talked about the very, very, it's a really great book, Malcolm Gladwell's book, Blink, you know, The Power of Thinking Without Thinking, and it argues that, you know, we can know something is going to happen, make accurate snap decisions, like you said, without knowing why. But, you know, what do you think of that?
Well, I,
the examples that he uses.
I'm fascinated by that book. Gladwell comes down on the side of it's all physical. These people are just using very subtle sensory cues to anticipate what's going to play out in the future. He doesn't really know how we get those, but he anchors his explanations in the brain. I mean, this is just very subtle information processing. I don't think that explanation has a ghost of a chance of explaining the sorts of things that he doesn't bring up. I think that subtle information processing certainly is real. People have very highly refined senses of smell, touch, hearing, and sight, and so on. But we're talking about something extraordinarily different here. There is really no way that one can, through subtle information processing, know about the sorts of cases that I talk about, that, for example, two towers in southern Manhattan are going to fall on 9/11, this sort of thing. I mean, what would lead you to believe that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think he passes the buck, and I think that he uses the easy cases but neglects those that really offer challenges to his thesis.
Well, we have to take a few minutes of break
yes.
right now, but when we come back, let's continue this discussion and, you know, how we can take this to another level. Stay tuned with us.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Jiva Supplements proves that natural products can best be used in combination with mind-body therapies such as meditation, Reiki, reconnection energy, emotional freedom techniques, and other life-enhancing practices to provide you with all the vitality and joy you need to lead healthy, fulfilling, and joyous lives. You can read all about Dr. Vijaya Nair's work by visiting jivasupplements.org. That's JIVA Supplements.org. Or call 800-517-7606 for a free brochure and information. Dr. Nair's and Dr. Piper's books are available through Amazon.com, major bookstores, and health food stores. Nose and sinus issues? Wash the tissues. The new Neti NasoPure all-natural nasal wash system. Your nose is your body's personal filter, so clean all those irritants with NasoPure. A clean nose will improve your breathing, reduce ear, sinus, throat, and nasal problems. NasoPure will reduce your need for medication simply by washing your nose clean daily. If you're looking for the perfect Neti, NasoPure is safe, comfortable, and convenient. The natural way to keep you and your family healthy. Try Dr. Hanna's NasoPure. Just follow your nose to NasoPure.com. Or call 877-853-PURE.
The incidence of autism has increased at an alarming rate. Approximately 1 in 150 children are affected by autism, giving autism the undesired ranking as the most prevalent childhood developmental disorder in the U.S. 67 children will be diagnosed today. That is nearly one child every 20 minutes. Autism One, a conversation of hope, brought to you by Enzymedica, hosted by Terry Aranga, illuminates how right now there is more reason than ever for individuals with autism spectrum disorders and their families to have the best hope for the brightest future. Autism is treatable, and given appropriate therapies, children are recovering. With well-known researchers and doctors, members of Congress, and expert service providers from a wide range of disciplines, Terry offers interviews and insights highlighting the progress in areas related to autism spectrum disorders such as biomedical research and treatment, communication, education, and behavioral modalities, sociological and philosophical issues, and legislative advocacy and insurance concerns. Autism One, a conversation of hope, broadcasts each Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific. On the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, Autism One, a conversation of hope. Through education and conversation, there is hope.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
listening to Kiss Your Life Hello with your hosts, Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper. To participate in this program, please call in toll-free at 1-866-472-5792. Again, that's 1-866-472-5792. Or send an email to info@kissyourlifehello.com. Now back to Kiss Your Life Hello.
Welcome back, everyone, to this final segment here on Kiss Your Life Hello. We're talking to Dr. Larry Doocy and on his wonderful book, The Power of Premonitions. Larry, tell us again where we can get the book.
Major bookstores, and it's on the usual internet book ordering sites such as Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com, and also it's available through my website, which is www.doocy.com.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. I just want to ask you this. There was a recent, I just saw the episode today, The Doctor's Show, and more mainstream practitioners are looking into alternative practitioners and healthcare modalities. But one of the things that a very innovative company has come up with is channeling brain waves to actually move cars and play video games and telekinesis, and it's really cool when you see that, and they are projecting that that's going to be something very, very common in the near future using brain waves.
Well, I think that's a great way for people to go in certain situations. For example, quadriplegics now can learn to operate computers by just taking thought, because the thought generates brain waves. The brain waves are picked up on fMRI scans or EEGs and translated mechanically into some device that, you know, eventually downstream punches certain functions on a computer. I think that's very exciting, but I don't think that that's going to take us into the direction that will explain the sort of thing that we're dealing with here. For example, sitting in front of that computer, knowing ahead of time what it's going to do randomly, I don't think there's any way you can get that kind of outcome out of brainwaves. So I think we're in a different paradigm when we talk about genuine premonitions composed of those brainwave-mediated phenomenon.
So that's a little bit of a manipulation, and we're using brainwaves to help us in daily functioning, or, you know, training an athlete like an Olympian. Olympic athletes use a lot of brainwaves to, you know, find their target or to enhance their performance. But what we're talking about is the power of premonitions, is using something that sounds like an inherently human, feel to it. Do animals have premonitions?
Yeah, in the book I go into a lot of animal stories
of
them anticipating the future and also saving the lives of their owners by giving them warnings about anticipated things that that lie ahead in the future, which do actually come true, which if heeded actually save the life of the pet owner.
We only have a couple minutes left. What would you say, what message would you want to leave our listening audience in regards to your book, The Power of Premonitions?
Well, I think the main payoff here is not whether or not we can use premonitions to save our skin or anticipate health issues or even physical disasters, that sort of thing. Although, if we do that, that's a very nice gift. These things say something fundamentally different about the nature of our own consciousness. They suggest that there's some aspect of who we are, consciousness-wise, that is just outside of the brain, the body, and even the present. My term for this factor of consciousness is non-local mind, which is just a fancy term, Howard, for infinite. Mm-hmm. These phenomena suggest that there's some infinite quality of who we are that's immortal and eternal, that is to say, outside of time. And I think that they have profound consequences for our expectation of surviving bodily death. I think premonitions point like an arrow to what used to be called the soul, some aspect of who we are that's immortal and eternal. I can't imagine a greater gift than that sort of assurance, and I think that that's where premonitions are actually pointing us.
Well, you've been a great gift for our show, Larry Doocy, medical doctor, The Power of Premonitions, How Knowing the Future Can Shape Our Lives and Save Our Lives, too. I like that part, too. But you don't have to quote me on that, so it's okay.
Thank you so much, Larry, for being on our show, and we hope to have you soon again.
Thank you, guys.
But thank you so much. Thank you.
Take care.
Blessings. So, Dr. H.,
Wow.
You're going to go back to your dreams and your bellyometer and find out what we have in line for our show next week.
Next week we have Kent Seeley, who is on Intervention on A&E.
Yes.
It's been a very, very popular show for the past number of years. And Kent Seeley is one of the therapists that does the interventions. And he wrote a book called Face It and Fix It. I love it. I mean, it talks about all forms, whether it's mental illness, whether it's addiction, codependency, chemical dependency. So it just covers a huge area. But Ken will be our guest next week. I am totally impressed with this, the power of premonitions. I really am. I believed in this, and you know, we're going to attempt to get Dr. Judy Orloff on our show too, that wrote a book called Second Sight. So we seem to be focusing on this area of tapping into the information, the knowledge. I used to have a friend of mine. He would always tell me, "You know what you know." And you, Dr. Vijay, you know, prefaced the fact of meditating is so important, and I believe that. And if we go in, we can find the answers to all our problems. They're all within inside, if we're willing to listen.
Yes. And some of it we have to take steps that we're not comfortable with. But when
we
do that, we come out of our comfort zone, you know, whole new power, freedom, and self-expression now just there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea is just to have fun and just play with the universe, not to take yourself so seriously. But having said that, it's time to end the show for today. I just want to wish everyone a very, very, very happy week ahead. And thank you so much for being with us. And we'll see you, talk to you soon.
And
bye-bye.
If no one's told you that they love you today, let me be the first. Love you all. Till next week. Bye-bye now.
Thank you again for joining Dr. Vijaya Nair and Dr. Howard Piper for Kiss Your Life Hello. We'll return next Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific Time, 10 a.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Have a great week.